Welcome to the DollarWise podcast. At HFM, one of the most significant values we provide our clients is leveraging our experience helping hundreds successfully navigate through life's transitions. On this podcast, our advisor team explores some of the questions we get every day from our clients. We share some insights on financial topics, and we interview some fantastic professionals from our vast network. Our hope is that you leave with some food for thought and some good ideas to consider. Thank you for joining us. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the DollarWise podcast. I'm Jason Gabrielli, certified financial planner here at HFM Investment Advisors. And today, one of my colleagues, Tyler Reedman, is joining me also.
Hey, Jason.
Certified financial planner.
That's right.
So, Tyler, today we're going to talk about I always like covering topics on these podcasts. I think we could probably do a whole podcast just on things people tell us that they think is true that is not true at all. And that could probably feel like a whole thing in and of itself. So one of the ones that stuck out to me that we've been getting, I was doing this 15 years, and I feel like I hear all the time, is with respect to how much people are saving in their 401k. So a lot of times when we talk to clients or we talk to participants in 401k plans that we manage, people say they're maxing out. And what's your first thought, Tyler?
Maxing out. Whew, good for you, because the max is a lot of money.
And what we found is most times when they say that, what they actually mean is that they are doing the amount that their employer contributes on their behalf. So they are matching the match. So if their employer matches 3%, they're doing 3%. And sometimes they think that is the max. It is not. What actually is the max?
So the max is actually a dollar amount. It is funny, right? Because you and I both, we talk to hundreds of employees throughout the year from the 401k plans that we advise on too. And we get that all the time. And we have to remind people the max is actually a dollar amount. So for 2024, the max you can do if you're under age 50 is actually $23,000. And if you're turning age 50 this year, or you're already over age 50, you can do an additional, what we call catch-up contribution, of $7,500. So that brings you to a grand total of $30,500 if you're over age 50. If you're under 50, it's $23,000. Now, important to note also, that is just your employee contribution, does not include any money that your employer is giving you as well. But back to your point, Jay, that if somebody's getting, let's say, a 3-4% match from your employer, you need to be making a really high amount of money to actually hit the max.
And that kind of begs the next question. Once people realize how much they could be doing, then they ask, well, how much should I be doing? And I feel like that is one of the most loaded questions in all of personal finance. Right up there with, can I retire, is how much should I be saving in my 401k? Because the answer is, it really depends a lot.
I get that question probably in about half the 401k meetings that I run. How much should I be saving in my 401k? And it is funny that you mention it like that, because I do usually sit back and I take a deep breath and I'm like, it really does depend. And it's tough because you want people to do as much as they're capable of, but you also recognize that we're coming off of the pandemic times and high inflationary times, and stuff is really expensive. So you constantly have to balance wanting to try to get people to do as much as possible. Also recognizing that people do have bills, and we not too long ago had $12 carton of eggs. I kind of dive a little deeper into this, but usually I start with saying you need to do as much as you physically can do without totally ruining your cash flow. Because I don't want somebody to go from doing 3% to 15% if it means they're then going to go into credit card debt or something like that. But if we can go from 3% to 10% and it's not a huge burden for cash flow, by all means, that is something that I think we need to be doing.
That's a good place to start. So usually I think when people ask us that question, how much should I be saving in a 401k plan? They're looking for the guideline. And I think at the back of their mind, what is everyone else doing? And so we've found that the guideline contribution is around 10% of your gross income, or 10% of your salary going into your 401k retirement plan in one way or another. Now, obviously, hopefully you're working at an employer where they're going to kick in for you and they're going to match you something, or they're going to give you some contribution. That's gravy on top. But if you could get yourself to the point that you're doing 10% of your salary, of your wages, into your 401k plan, you're doing pretty good, especially if you're on the younger side, you're just starting out. Usually that comes a lot. We talk to these people who maybe it's their first or second job. They might not have their life as built out from a financial perspective. They might not have all the overhead, like a mortgage and car payments and all that stuff. So we tell them, if you're going to start yourself somewhere, start yourself at 10%.
And I like honing in on the word percent too, because you'll notice a lot of 401k plans allow you to make a contribution as a dollar amount instead of a percentage. And you've got to recognize by doing a dollar amount, it might seem simple from just inputting a number, but throughout the years, as you get pay raises, maybe doubling your income over time or tripling over decades, that dollar amount doesn't change. If you do it as a percentage, you're contributing more to your account almost every single year without having to think about it. In many ways, you don't have to think about it.
And I think with 401k retirement plans, the number one thing you can do is set it up to make it as easy as possible on yourself by using a percentage. Like you said, as the years roll on, it'll end up being more money because hopefully you'll get raises and things will go up and you'll automatically just be saving more. Make sure that you're making it as easy on yourself as possible to make those contributions and to get yourself saving for retirement in an amount that is going to put you in a good spot.
So 10% is a very simple guideline to go with, right? 10 to 15% is usually the general rule of thumb, right? So if your employer is giving you 5 and you're doing 10, you're at that 15 and that's awesome. But things change in life.
It's yes, like
you might go
do.
Up, you might go down. But for context, Vanguard puts out an awesome piece every year. It's called How America Saves. It is quite lengthy. It's over 100 pages of data and graphs.
Right? You read the whole thing?
Yeah, that's what I do on my weekends. I just read these 100 plus page pamphlets, as I'm expecting every listener to now do. They have so many cool insights, and they look at all the accounts at Vanguard, and they basically show that the average employee is doing around 7.4% into their accounts, which I thought it was going to be lower than that, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that too.
I was actually pretty impressed with Americans. Now, if you include the employer match, the actual average at Vanguard is around 11.3%. So now that's pretty good. The average person is getting above 10%. So that's fantastic. But it is important to now think about that, take a step back. And if you are one of those people that is under 10%, how can we get ourselves to go from maybe being at 3 or 5 or 7 to getting to that 10%+ where we feel like we are on the right track to being able to do something different in life someday?
And one of the things we found too is at the end of the day, there's kind of two ways to look at how much should I be saving in my retirement plan. Well, I guess there's three ways. That first way was using that guideline percentage and doing the best you can to hit close to that. The other way, it's a little more formulaic and it's probably not realistic for most people, which is figure out how much you're going to need in retirement and then work backwards. Depending on where you're at in life, if you're getting close to retirement, maybe 10 or 15 years out, you can actually probably do that with the help of a financial advisor to figure out how much do I need to be saving every year to hit that goal that I want to hit 10 or 15 years from now for retirement. For most people though, the way that makes the most sense is for them to figure out how much can I save? How much can I take out of my pocket? Especially if you're somebody who's in maybe their 20s or their 30s and now you do have some things in your financial life that are overhead. You have that mortgage. Maybe you have kids in school that are playing sports and doing all this stuff. There's a lot of pull on your various income and expenses. And so a lot of the driver there has to be, how much can I afford to do? And like you said, Tyler, before, not put myself in an issue on a month-to-month cash flow perspective that I'm running up credit card debt or I can't afford to have an emergency reserve just in case something happens. Balancing that is where we really want to take this, I think. And I think that's where you were going, where you're thinking, all right, how do we get somebody who's in that boat where they're not in the beginning where they have no expenses and they could save whatever, they just need to set that amount, or later on when they're making more money and they maybe have less expenses because their kids are out of the house or whatever it is, that in between where you're trying to make the most out of your dollars that have to go a lot of different places.
It's funny, we were chatting about this a little earlier and I made the comment too. I'm like, 401ks are basically just like a mortgage, or it's like buying a house. It is better because with buying a house, right, you're paying somebody else interest. With your 401k, you are the one earning interest. But what I meant by saying that is they are both forms of forced savings. We talk all the time about paying yourself first and how sometimes developing a budget and then looking about how much is left over and it might not be a lot and wrapping your head around saving that, it's not always easy. So when you have a mortgage in a house and you have a 401k where every pay period or every month there is forced savings, it is automated.
That's coming out. Yeah.
It is a form of what we call reverse budgeting. It is happening behind the scenes without really having to think about it. So I think of it almost the same way as my mortgage, but instead of paying somebody else interest, I'm earning interest for myself. So it's even better.
That topic of reverse budgeting, I think, is a neat idea because it's something that I think, I'm sure we didn't invent it, but we talk about it a lot with clients because we found that your average person does not keep a very good budget. And it's a difficult exercise to do if you're not inclined to do so. So this reverse budgeting idea is that you're going to figure out how much you need to save upfront, do that, and then whatever you have left, it goes. Whether it goes to pay the water bill or it goes for discretionary spending or whatever, as long as you know you have the boxes checked off, your mortgage is paid, your 401k is 10% going in or whatever you figure out you could do, those things are done first. And then the spending that goes on is less critical to your financial plan as long as those most important buckets are full first. And so we found that helps people bridge the gap between the daunting task of having to create a budget in order to make that almost like a barrier to saving. We'd rather say, no, let's focus on the saving first. Don't worry about the budget. Whatever you have left after what you saved, worry about spending that. And don't necessarily worry about every dime goes there.
On that same topic, so we talked a little bit about if you're somebody right now that is below that 10%, and it is a goal of yours to get over it, what are some ways we can get there? And we can rattle off a few ideas here, but two jumped in my head right away. The first is see if your plan has what we call automatic escalation. Automatic escalation is something you can usually set up in your portal, your 401k portal, where you say, hey, maybe I'm at 5% right now and I can't make the jump from 5 to 15 tomorrow. But every single year on January 1st, without me having to do anything, I want my account to go up 1% or maybe 2%. And you can specify that in your portal. So as you're getting these pay raises, your percentage is going up automatically and you don't have to think about it each year. Because a lot of times, if we are required to do something at a later date, we don't do it. It's just a fallacy of humankind, I guess.
And even anchoring a certain time of year. So I'm going to go and goose my percentage up a percent. And it might be when you get a raise. So every year, if you have the same time of year is when your employer reviews your performance, gives you a raise, or the certain time of year they give raises everybody, whatever it is, just know every time that happens, I'm going to increase my percent 1%. You log in there and do that. Or if it's on your birthday, some people do that. Every year on my birthday, I up it 1%. I just know that until I hit that 10% or 12% goal or whatever it is.
The second thing I was thinking about, and that is a very difficult concept for people to grasp, right, is the idea of pre-tax versus Roth. Most people we talk to understand that Roth is after tax and pre-tax is before tax, right? But what a lot of people don't realize, it actually costs you more today to put Roth in your account than it does to put in pre-tax. So somebody, let's say, who's putting in 10% Roth is actually contributing more to their 401k essentially than somebody that is doing 10% pre-tax. Because let's think about it this way. Let's say you're somebody that's maxing out at $23,000. What did it cost you to put in that $23,000 Roth? If you're in the 20-something percent bracket, maybe it actually cost you $30,000 coming out of your pay to put 23 grand into the 401k because of that Roth after-tax equation. With the pre-tax, it only costs you 23K to put in that 23K. That's not to say everybody should do Roth or everybody should do pre-tax. It's just to think about how are there ways to actually deal a little more into your account. Roth is one of those ways that without you really having to think about it, you're having more money go into your account and tax-free.
And you're taking that deduction today. So you're not having to, like you said, pay tax on that money and ultimately have it cost you more to get that money in there. And one of the things that we will reiterate, and I know you just mentioned it, but it's worth mentioning is, when it comes to Roth or pre-tax, you want to make sure that you don't get too hung up on how you're saving. Just save. Because the most important thing you can do is save the money. Obviously, if there's an advisor that you use or somebody on your plan that can help you, have that conversation of whether Roth or pre-tax makes sense for you. But absolutely, just make sure that you're saving and that you're implementing even some of the strategies we talked about here to get you saving more if you're not already at that 10 or 12 or 15% out of your salary.
Focus on what you can control. I think so many times we run into folks, employees, whatever it is, and they're starting to build an account balance, right? Maybe they have $10,000 in their account. That's fantastic. You're working towards some big numbers, but they're having conversations with me about why they're only up 8% instead of 10%. And I'm like, listen, I can explain to you why totally, but we're not at a point yet where that is crucial. What is more crucial right now is getting our contribution rate up. It is the only thing we can control is what we are contributing to our account. We can't control everything else going on in the world with stocks, macroeconomics. It is what can we do today to improve our future position? And it just boils down to saving more money for our future self. It's not easy. That's why we all need a little kick in the butt to do it. But this is meant to be one of those kicks in the butt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We appreciate everybody joining us for this episode of the Dollar Wise podcast. Hopefully you learned some stuff. You thought about how you're going to increase that 401k contribution. If you're not a subscriber yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button, Apple, Amazon, Stitcher, That way you get the latest update of whatever episode we have that drops. You'll be the first to know. You can listen to it. Hear our wonderful voices teaching you all about personal finance. Thank you very much, and we'll see you on the next one.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Dollar Wise Podcast. At HFM, our mission is to educate and empower our clients to make wise financial decisions. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at hfmadvisors.com. The Dollar Wise Podcast is presented by HFM Investment Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor firm. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer for sale or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. All investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as a recommendation appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.